Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday. I am in St. Louis with Andrew Cullen. I still have sunglasses on because my brutal laser facial yesterday left me looking the way I looked when I used the vibrator on my face, and I got, like, my eyes look like little, like, lion's eyes. They look tiny. Like, the skin around them makes them look swollen, and I just can't handle it. No, yeah, but you can see off camera, but I'm not good. I mean, that would defeat the purpose.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because people will take that still image and be like, this is who she is, and they'll upload it as my IMDb pic, you know? Like, I just can't have that. So instead, I'm wearing a pair of glasses that Paris Hilton sent me. She sent me a gigantic case of sunglasses. I'm not kidding you. This box is half the size of a room. And I was so annoyed because I'm like, what is this big thing? And then you open it up and it is a case. It's a display case that is as big as this table that you open up, and inside are 6 pairs of glasses in, like, foam. Like, it's like a case that you would send to Macy's to be like, here's how to display this.
I mean, yeah.
Giant waste of materials, but I'm very grateful for the glasses.
I like these glasses. I like
They're
this
by
look.
They're by Quay, Q-U-A-Y.
You look like a cocaine DJ in Miami.
Yeah, I feel great. It allows me to wear things that I wouldn't normally wear but really want to wear because Paris said it was okay. And she sent it to me, and I would be a bad friend to not wear it.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. When you get it as a gift, you can wear whatever the fuck you want. You're like, it's a gift. I feel bad for that person.
Yeah, my Nana is going to be so disappointed.
That I don't wear these nipple clamps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Speaking of nipples.
What about them?
Noah collar? And I were watching Noah alerted me that Taylor Swift was going live on NYU's commencement speech and that they were broadcasting it on YouTube live. And I didn't even know. And Noah told me. So I go on live and Noah made the hilarious joke from yesterday's podcast, Ham Drip, that, you know, Taylor Swift has, like, bright red lips. And Noah just said to me, it's like, I wonder, I guess her nipples are cherry red. That's funny. It's a good joke.
It was a good color on her.
It got me thinking about what her nipples were, and I just stopped because that is not okay, and she does not want that. And but Noah and I really enjoyed the commencement speech. Noah, as someone who is not a Swiftie, I'm so glad that you are. What a good friend you are to
alert.
Give something. No, just to not even alert me, to watch it with me too. Like, she watched it. She has an interest in things that not only her friend, but obviously the host of the show that she produces has an interest in, and like tries to. This is what I want in every one of my friends, all my partners, romantic partners, to see the world through my eyes, to try to give things a chance that you might not necessarily like, to understand their friend Nikki. And it really meant a lot to me.
How long was the speech?
20 minutes.
Yeah, like 15, 20 minutes.
And how was it?
Okay, I felt like this is speaking to us because it's the things that we talk about. She had a really great portion on cringe, on the word cringe.
I put it up on our YouTube, or on our Instagram.
You did.
For the show.
Okay,
because
I haven't
seen
it yet.
She did something cringe. She did a cur thing, and then I
the wine?
Highlighted. Yes. It was a good joke, but I was like, kuh. And then right after that, she was like, you know, one of her lessons was live with the cringe. Just know that no matter what you do, you can't fight it. You will look back on your life and cringe. And cringe is just, kuh is the new cringe, is what the hashtag I put on the post. But it was funny that's how good she is. She says something, kuh, not knowing that it's kuh, but then she retroactively then gives an excuse for being kuh because she says, I'm gonna keep being kuh. She said, in 2012 I dressed like a 1950s housewife for some reason.
it is funny. At the time you think, I'm fucking pulling this off, this is my new look, I've done this 50 million times.
Yes.
But at what point do you realize it's cringe, and why does it suddenly become cringe?
Because
is it because of the times, or is it because of you?
Cringe is kuh. Don't, like, I had a epiphany listening to it. Like, anytime someone goes, that's so cringe, like my Bob Saget song, a lot of people said was cringe. Like, anything that you can look at that through your life that's cringe, it is the same as kuh. You are trying to be something so that other people would think something of you. You would not do it in a vacuum. I say that I would have sang that Bob Saget song in a vacuum. You don't know the things I do in a vacuum about Bob Saget that are not for anyone but me and my spiritual connection to the past. You know, people who have passed. So it's like... But why put it out there then? I don't know, to help other people process what they're going through and to make it okay to be a little bit saccharine and ridiculous. But yeah.
But what did you get from what she was saying about it?
I got from the, like, stop trying to fight kuh, just let it happen. And that people are always going to try to bring you down. And my favorite point was, which she had the same thing that Conan had said in his, you know, his last monologue during the Tonight Show when he left because Jay Leno came back to take back a job that he had already given Conan. So he was what's that word that we can't say anymore? You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So
a Leno head.
A Leno head. A Leno giver. So...
Yeah, Conan, so I gave you this and you just didn't handle it well, and I'm not ready to just go die with my curse.
That's so good.
Thanks, buddy. So
Conan
sounds like me if I did helium.
Don't be cynical. And that's what she kind of said. She was like, one thing that is, I think it was on the heels of the cringe thing. She said, one thing that is often cringe is enthusiasm. Don't worry. Like, she's like, I love enthusiasm. And then Noah, that reminded me of a thing you had said prior. When we first tuned in, she was about to come on stage and you were like, oh my God, this chat is insane. People going like, Taylor, 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 OMG.
Mommy.
Mommy, mommy. And, you know, it was hard to type all those things while I was talking to you, but I did shoot off a fair amount of mommy, mommies. But that's why Swifties, and you go, I can't believe this fandom. I wish I loved something that much. I wish I had that much fervor for, you know, you gave an example of your Carcass concert this weekend.
Yeah, I was in line to buy merch. I really wanted to buy a hat and a t-shirt. And the guy in front of me was such a huge fan. He had bought this like limited edition box set, a vinyl, a t-shirt, and a hat. And I saw how much it rang up. It rang up for $190. And he was just like admiring it and like so happy and like hugging it. And I just was like so jealous of how enthusiastic. And then I saw him like all the way in the front row, just like going crazy and being. And I just felt so like jaded. And I just was like, you know, I miss being. I don't think I've ever been a. Actually, I was. I was a fan of Guns N' Roses that big. And then it squashed. God. And I was just like, I just miss being a fan Guns of something so deeply.
Yeah, it's and I it's enthusiasm. And it's like it Taylor encourages this crazy enthusiasm and like
who's,
basks
who's
in it.
Who's Taylor a fan of? Does she ever, does she have fandom of other people?
Yeah, I mean, like she's honored people at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, what's her name? Carly Simon. She's, you know, I think Joni Mitchell. She is a, there's been tons of examples of her, especially when she was doing the 1989 tour and she would bring people out. She was so reverential and like,
but whose t-shirt would she wear? Like, have you ever seen her wearing a t-shirt?
Yeah, she wore the 1979 shirt or 1975 shirt when she was dating a guy, allegedly, from the band. So she definitely would wear people's t-shirts, but...
No, I just feel like sometimes...
Tim McGraw.
We could all be so self-involved to release ourselves to being fans of things outside ourselves. And that's why I asked a question, because, like, I have... I like sports. I love sports. I think I've worn like a jersey twice in my life.
Yeah.
And really like.
Why would
we're doing.
Maybe not a jersey, but like what about just a shirt with the logo on it?
I know. I like the team. I've never been like, hey, we're doing great this year. I've never been that. And I don't know if it's a. I think.
I do it to attract other
annoying
people.
That I can't.
That care about it too.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
That's what I like is when girls are like, I like your shirt. And then I'm like, yes, you get it. You like, and I love when I see other girls with Swiftie stuff because I'm just like, it's almost like we came from the same hometown or we went to the same high school. It's like that kind of like kinship. That's why, and I wear it to be like, because I know so many people think Taylor Swift is like, they just pigeonhole her as like this pop artist that talks about boys. Mm-hmm. And maybe if I am wearing something of hers, not ironically, they might give her a shot and be like, okay, that woman is a Taylor Swift fan. She seems cool.
Yeah.
But although sometimes I think that I probably just add to the, wow, look at that crazy lady with Crocs and two dogs and an empty dog sling. And
I was going to check out Taylor Swift.
Starbucks orders for herself. I always look like I'm going to a meeting where I'm like greeting a bunch of other people, but it's just me to pack up for the day. So I don't have to keep going back to that Starbucks. And they go, you have a problem. I go, no, I'm going to a meeting where everyone wants the same drink as me. Oh my God.
They encourage your addiction, which is nice because everyone's addicted.
No, I mean like that's what I used to do. Like people who have food addictions will totally relate to this of like you want I want the same thing for every meal and you get embarrassed. I've talked about this before. You get embarrassed going back to the same place. Even if you're addicted to cigarettes or something and you're like, oh my God, I already bought a pack there today. And the same guy, it's going to still be working there later. He's going to know that I have a problem. Like how could I've already gone? I did this with gum. I did this with caffeine. I've done this with Froyo. I would wait. I would find either another place that sold it and drive across town so I wouldn't have to see that person again because it's or a Subway. I used to get the same footlong sandwich every day and I would try to keep it all day, but I would eat it in one sitting and I would always want another one because once you start a binge, you're just like, oh, I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
And I would just go, I would drive so far out of my way to not see another person that worked there so I wouldn't get the judgment that I got at the Starbucks downstairs the other day. But now I own it. I was joking when I say I get a bunch. Sometimes I get two because I just want them back to back, not because I don't want to go back into the store. But there is a slight shame of knowing you are doing addictive behavior that is abnormal.
Oh, I do it at Golf Galaxy. And
What do you mean?
I'll go in, I'll putt for 2 hours, I'll hit different clubs. I've traded in numerous amount of clubs where and then they joke with me about the guy that's like, can you believe this guy fucking trades in every fucking 3 weeks a new driver, like it's going to help him and it's not his horrible swing and he really isn't that good at golf? I'm like, wait,
if you trade it in, is it like you left the tag on? You're like, I haven't used this, but they know.
No, you just trade in for less. So
they sell used stuff all the time?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
No, they don't. I won't buy used stuff. I'll buy new stuff.
Why don't you buy used stuff?
I should.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, of course. Of course I should.
But you think, is there a part of you that thinks it didn't work for the last person? Why would it work for me?
Yeah, probably.
And only the new stuff works?
Yeah, it's stupid. But I'm actually...
You should buy used.
I am kind of done with the trading up and the idea of like, oh, this will change. This will help me.
Yeah.
It's fun, though. There's an enjoyment with it. There's, getting lost in it, the addiction of it. I was thinking about the fandom thing, though, too, about like, we have some friends that are really close or that are in the locker room at times, and they'll tell you stories about like how the players don't care really at all, even about winning or losing or their fans for that matter. So that leaves a little bad taste in my mouth too sometimes, where it's like, oh, they don't give a shit about me. Why should I care about them?
But then you're also in your living room screaming and going like, God damn it. Like, why do that if it doesn't matter?
My dad does that a lot. My dad, you would think you're at the game in the front row and he just got hit by one of the players the way he yells.
I'm jealous of that enthusiasm.
Agreed.
To be honest with you.
I am too.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I get pessimistic about it. I'm like, I was really pessimistic. I mean, I'm not as much.
What's been the biggest fan you've ever been of anything?
Tom Petty. Yeah. Seeing him in concert right before he died.
Did you ever get into an obsession of like putting his poster on your wall and wanting to read every book and every little thing about him?
I mean, I saw his documentary, which is 4 hours.
Did you see it like as soon as it came out? And were you like in the
involved in it. And seeing him live, I saw him live 4 times. I saw him right before he died with my brothers. We're singing every word. Like, there's something, there's a kinship
because
he's from Florida.
Do you know the story behind every song and like when it was written and stuff like that?
Not that far, but I know he's from Florida.
It's a craving of mine to know every little detail.
Yeah.
I did it with the Beatles, but then that became overwhelming.
Why? Because
it was my first, like, my dad bought the anthology book.
Yeah.
Remember when the anthologies were coming out in like 96? It was like the second and there's the coolest moment, I think, for me and my dad ever was, because my dad's just as big of a Beatle fan as I am, like a Taylor Swift fan. And when the Beatles anthologies came out, they released new music that they found in like these tapes. And they're, one is called Real Love and the other is, fuck, it was the first one that was released. But it was, that was like the coolest moment because I was maybe sixth and seventh grade. But it was the first time my dad and I, we equally were like, we're getting new Beatles music. So we heard a new song and we're just it blew our minds to hear. And it was just like a shared moment of like such fandom. And also he got me into Wilco. Like there's all those.
My dad loved Traveling Wilburys and he loved Tom Petty.
Yes.
So there's definitely like, Daddy Love Me. So
yes.
I learned the lyrics to, American Girl.
Yeah.
But
I've been obsessed with Friends. The show.
Yeah.
I used to get all the books and read every single piece of information I could about them. I've been obsessed with Dave Matthews, Counting Crows, Wilco.
Any boy bands? Were you two or two?
No. I was just a little bit too old for Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and young. Young for New Kids and old for obviously One Direction.
I'm old enough where girls had jean jackets with like their Donnie. I don't know who fucking
that
picks
would be
Donnie.
So cool.
That girl's pretty cool that she picked Donnie. that was the whole thing
that's
though.
Like the Joey.
It's like, this is, this is who I am, this person in this band.
It's just looking for identity for sure.
Yeah.
Let's go to break and talk about more stuff when we get back. Andrew!
I'm over the shoulder of a young lady, but I'm not creepy down the block.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And we're back. What's been? I'm
Can I ask you a question about the lyrics thing? Because we were talking about lyrics. I've learned, as we saw yesterday, I'm extremely lyrical. But no, I've learned like songs before, but I could know the words to songs and not
know like, the meaning.
The meaning or play the story in my brain.
Noah is not a lyric head either, we've learned.
Oh, yeah, you're not a lyric head either.
Yeah.
It's more of a feeling, I guess. But
she doesn't even memorize them.
Recently, I've been looking at... Oh, you don't even memorize them. I've been looking at, like, Lyric Genius or whatever.
Yeah,
genius,
yeah.
And really going over, like, Sturgill Simpson, Jason Isbell.
What does it mean?
Like, why are they saying these words? What's the buildup? What's the story? Mm-hmm. Like, what? Like, how did they put it together?
Yeah.
For the first time in my life. And I think there's a lot of people that know songs, but don't know songs.
Yes.
Out there. And I don't know. There's just whenever a different kind of brain.
Whenever I'm on the Instagram playing music and people like request songs that I like known forever. And then I pull up the lyrics and I'm like, that's the lyric? Like there's like moments like that. And
would you take the CD and read?
Oh, yeah. My God. I mean, with the ones I loved. Yeah. You know, not with every single song, but I loved...
There was something about holding it, right? Like,
I just loved, and I loved
Because so much of Dave Matthews is like, honest and a homie, honest and you wanna.
Like the Pearl Jam. Yeah,
So you would need to know what the fuck he was talking about. And thank God for liner notes.
TikTok is really funny with that shit. With Pearl Jam, have you seen?
Oh, there's like, one where there's like a sign in some, you know, Denmark or something.
Oh, they're like, just breaking down the lyric, and there's just like what they think he's saying versus what he's. Oh my god, it's the funniest shit ever. But yeah, so you wouldn't know until you read it, and then
or I would think I would know, and then be so like. There's a lot of Taylor Swift ones like that where, you know, in the subreddit, people will be like, "What did you think this was?" And then what was it? And there's tons that I can't think of any right now that I always. Oh, this is a weird one I do. And this is for a very select group of people.
Oh God!
This
you break
is
down
weird.
The letters.
So, they're in blank space. She goes, "So hey, let's be friends." You know, it's like, wait, I forget what it's something before something. Hey, let's be friends.
I could be,
but
hold
on.
Dressed as a
blank space lyrics. I'll find it. 1 second.
Wanna live forever.
Oh, okay. She goes, new money, suit and tie. I can read you like a magazine. Ain't it funny? Rumors fly. And I know you heard about me. And so, hey, let's be friends. I'm dying to see how this one ends. Well, when I was listening to the Serial podcast, the first one, do you know with...
Amnon?
Adnan, yes. And he murders... Does anyone remember the name of the girl he murders?
Sohei?
No, her name is Haemin Lee.
Oh,
her first name was Hey. And so when she goes, so hey, let's be friends, I picture Taylor Swift saying hello to the woman that was murdered. And I don't know what is wrong with me, but I always think of, so hey, let's be friends. Like she's befriending this Asian girl in the year 2000.
Yeah.
There was another part in the commencement speech. I had to like write it down that I wanted to bring up to you.
Yeah.
It's the part where she was talking about how she never gives advice unless someone asks her for it, because throughout her career from starting young, she's always gotten unsolicited advice from like executives and this and that. And she says, she goes that like she always had this in the back of her mind that if she made any mistakes, all the children of America would grow up to, if she didn't make any mistakes, all of the children of America would grow up to be perfect.
Yes.
Do you remember when she talked about that?
Yes. And because she said that so many people said, you're setting an example for young girls.
Oh.
And so don't mess up. And that if she did mess up, they would all be fucked. And if she didn't, they would be okay. So it was like on her shoulders. The more fans she got, the more like she was the
perfect.
Older sister for all of these young people. She was like their, that was interesting. And that's, I always cite that as an example of like, I've heard that before from people who mean a lot to me of saying, what you did here is a really, girls are looking up to you and this is really not a good look. And I don't know, I've never really struggled with being a good example. And there have been people writing to me about like, hey, the way you talked about food today or like you feel fat, like that really made me feel sad. And that's like not a good example to women. And then I catch myself and I go, yeah, you're right. Like I was just in a bad state of mind. But I always argue like it was way more detrimental to me as a young girl to see people being like seeming like they were so okay with their bodies and like the way the world was and acting like everything was okay. I think that this fake body positivity is way more harmful to women than women, just skinny women being like, I hate my body and it sucks and I don't know why. Like that at least addresses the issue of like, I know that this is wrong to say, but I'm struggling with it. So you don't feel then bad. Like, I know that can make you feel bad if you're bigger than that girl to go like, well, then she probably thinks I'm fat. But what it then causes us to address is this skinny woman thinks she's fat. What is the issue here? As opposed to everyone being like, I love my body. And if you don't, you're failing. So I think lying, even if the truth is something that's really ugly, lying is worse than that. For a future generation.
I guess though, it's like, what if someone is completely happy and completely content with being overweight or be like,
well, they
really feel
then
it
they can
and own
say
it. Yeah. But then I
But I know.
But do you think that they're
I know for a fact women who claim to love their bodies and then I know that they don't.
Well, I mean, there's a big thing going on right now with the Sports Illustrated cover. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh God. And I hated that cover so much. Not the fact that they put a bigger girl in there, the fact that they put an older woman on there. It was all it's all just such here you go. Yeah, we are woke. And then what we still have Kim Kardashian. Does this make up for it? I posted something
they hedged.
Yeah. I posted something. I posted that I took it down immediately because I was like, I don't want to get pulled into this. But I posted the old woman cover and I go, does this make up for? And I was gonna this, and I was gonna do Kim Kardashian. It's like, no. We see through it. No one is jerking. Sports Illustrated is to jerk off to. No one's jerking. No one should be jerking off to a 70-year-old woman in a waterfall. I'm sorry. That's weird. She's still beautiful, but it doesn't belong in Sports Illustrated. Like, what are we doing here? It's fine. Like, she's a beautiful woman. Yes. I would kill to look like that woman. I'm glad she felt herself. I think women should be in swimsuits. Yeah, sexualize them all you want. But they were not actually, they don't actually.
They don't care. Sports Illustrated doesn't care.
The photographer who is some catty little bitch who makes girls feel bad about themselves. Because I've had photographers who are used to shooting models and they make you feel bad that you're not a model. They were not loving that shoot. They were like, oh, I got the old woman today. Like, it's no one behind. That was all orchestrated. Yeah. It was all performative.
They want clicks. They want people talking. They want us talking about it like we are right now.
But you know what? I take it all back. Because if it does make older, if my mom sees that and goes, oh, maybe I could wear a swimsuit like that and be proud and like look stunning and a little bit sexual, fine. Like, then that's good. Or the bigger woman that, you know, Jordan Peterson got, he's pretty much canceled now because he was just being fucking mean. Yeah. Like, this is not sex. What did he say?
Well, his whole thing is he was like, not beautiful. Like, very like.
Not beautiful?
Well, ties it into like the woke taking control.
Well, it is the woke.
I know. But I'm saying though, like, it could just like, you don't have to bring that into everything. I don't know. I just felt like.
I thought the older woman was the one that where I go, come on, guys.
Well, he went after, and then a lot of people on Twitter went after him, and then he goes, Twitter is volatile, and people are coming after me, and then left Twitter.
I know, little
it's
baby.
It's the crying bully, which was talked about actually on Sam Harris's podcast. I don't know if you listened to the latest one.
No.
But the crying bully, the guy that's the bully, and then when it turns to him, cries victim.
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
But the older woman, I will say, like, I will be 70-something someday, if my brain lets me make it that far. And I feel like I will look back on that and be like, that is lovely. I'm glad they gave her a chance. But I still want acknowledgement that we are placating you. We are playing a game. We want to get away with still being, you know, ogling women for being a certain body type and worshiping Kim Kardashian and giving this person who by all means is setting bad examples for women with her diet talk and stuff like that. We want to still be able to support her. So if we do this too, it's like when people, you know, Amber Heard donating in quotations, it's fine. We all do it all day long where we go, I can have some of this if I eat this salad. Like
now, what if they
acknowledge
did,
that it's salad?
What if they did all overweight women and all older overweight.
Then you
if
know
it was
what?
Across the board,
then
how would you feel about that?
I would love it.
I would think it'd be amazing.
I would love it.
No hedging. Yeah.
But that doesn't, then they can't come out with like another thing.
they have
to switch completely. Now, that's not to say I still, this is like, what's it called?
Duality?
Where they affirmative action, where you just acknowledge we are trying to alleviate a problem, which is, there are too many of one kind of person represented here.
Yeah.
So we are purposely putting in people that represent another minority. Then that's fine. Just acknowledge that what you're doing. And maybe they did. Maybe they go, we're tired of having the same body image. We want to represent other people. But to me, being like, we didn't know that. We just realized these women are beautiful too. Come on in. No.
And there was a Native American
They've been
woman
here all along
the
and you've ignored them.
Ever. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about,
good.
I don't know why, but I was thinking like there's always like they give you like one or two minorities or one or two overweight or one old lady.
Yeah.
And people get crazy about it. That's what made me think like What if Sports Illustrated was like, we're only putting in African-American women, and it's all African-American women.
Right.
All.
Yeah.
And maybe one white person. And just to kind of finally understand, like, what it's being seen from the other way.
Yes.
Like, I feel like sometimes they don't go far enough to show their message.
Essence magazine. There's plenty of black...
No, I know, but that's a black magazine. I'm saying a magazine that has been predominantly white forever.
Yeah,
that would fucking, for me, that would be like, oh, okay, they're really showing a statement here. But these like subtle, like, you know.
One or two.
Yeah, and it's like Nike like taking on Kaepernick and like, oh, we don't care about our sales. We're woke and we're for him. But they know that it always helps. It's always about the bottom line, always. And that's what it. Yeah. That's all it is. And just be honest about it.
It's like when women on comedy shows. There's always one, but like, and if they try to do two, they go, "We got a woman already. Sorry, we already booked a woman." It's just like now we're up to like maybe there can be like two per show. But if it's an all woman lineup, it would be like you would have to call it something. Comedy
yeah.
cramps.
Yeah. Ovary.
Yeah.
Ovary calm.
Yeah.
I don't know, something better than what we just came up with. But, you know, plan it out. Yeah, it's annoying where it's like...
You're just talking to me? I don't know why.
Hey, my eyes are up here, comedy show.
Fallopian funny.
These hips are okay. wide enough for childbirth.
We
lineup
have
jokes.
To go because we have a special segment coming
what
up.
What happened?
Oh, well, we boom, boom, boom. The news, we get through it so fast that you don't even hear. Sometimes it doesn't happen because it's so fast. You
Whoa.
Guys have to slow it down.
Whoa.
We went boom,
we
boom,
are
boom.
A slow podcast.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We're just chill here.
We're such
Someone probably listens to us on point. 0004 or whatever.
I'm not joking you. My friends and I have a WhatsApp thread that Noah is on, oddly enough. She's poor thing. You turn those alerts off, Noah, right?
Oh, yeah.
It would be so funny for you to open your... Will you open your WhatsApp app to see how many messages you have unread from our group? Because Noah's in our group. It's me, Sarah, Lena, Noah, Robin, Kirsten, and Taylor. And Noah dropped off like in August when, and obviously no one, we sometimes just talk to Noah and go like, Noah, if you do hear this, we don't care that you're not Aww. Getting back to us. Just know that like, do not ever feel bad about not, because some of us drop off for like weeks at a time. And like, it's just the most forgiving, awesome little place to be. Best. But we
speed it up.
We talk about that in there because you can speed it up and everyone listens to. I listened to Robin. I think we talked about this. I've listened to Robin on 1.5 because she is British. And so sometimes, and she talks fast. I listened to Sarah Lena on 2. I listened to Kirsten on 2. I listened to Taylor on 2. And for me, they just listened on 1.
It's so funny that you've just made all your friends chipmunks.
I swear to God. And then when I talk to them in real time, I'm like, did you have a stroke?
Yeah. Can you speed this up?
I also listen to Chris's show, The Courtney Show, every day. And it's always like, and they have this one segment called, can't wait, and they do a theme song. It's called the best thing I saw yesterday, and they always just share like what something on the internet that they saw that was the best thing. It's like, can't wait to show my friends today the best thing I saw yesterday, and it's like this funny song, but every time I listen to it, it's like goes that fast. But then I was in studio the other day and it was like, can't wait to show my friends today. And I go, you guys are taking up like a minute of the air with this song that is already slow at 2 times the speed. All right. Well, we have a very special segment coming up that we are going to do maybe monthly, which incorporates you, the listener. So stay tuned. We'll be back with that.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
All right, we're back. So it's Wednesday, so we have Wild Card Wednesday. We just do different segments. We have a new one that is going to incorporate our listeners. It's time for Besties as Guesties. All right, today on the inaugural segment of Besties as Guesties, we are having on our bestie, M, who is Canadian and has a dog definitely making noise in the back.
Dude, is it
he's
two
been
dogs?
Quiet for the last 20 minutes. I have two,
of
and he's
course.
Been quiet the last 20 minutes.
No, it's totally fine. We relate to that. M, we decided to have on because, you know, for the segment, we want to talk to besties who have stories and experiences, jobs, life experiences that we don't have and that we want to ask questions of. And so, M, you are a police officer, correct?
That's right, yep.
And you did a Fanthrax, right? And that's how we knew about you being a police officer?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like 3:30 in the morning and I was just making notes from a call and I had noted that there were several occupants in the car and I laughed at myself for several thinking that
several.
Andrew would Yes, the several thinking Andrew would think it was like a clown car with like hundreds of people and it was just three.
Was it some kind of riot then? It was probably
I laugh
a riot.
Every time I use that word now, I laugh.
Several. Okay, so my first question for you is,
How did you be? What did you always want to become a police officer, or was it something you kind of fell into? How did this happen for you?
I actually was a teacher before, and I don't really know where the change came from or where the switch flipped, but I found that I wanted something a little more challenging, I think a little more exciting. So I applied at 27 to become a police officer and got on pretty quickly. And it's the greatest job in the world to me. Every day is exciting. Every day is different. And it's just always super challenging. So that's kind of what led me to that.
Is it different being a female police officer? Like, are you, there's not that many, I'm guessing, as many men?
Yeah, I would say the ratio would probably be maybe like one female to like every maybe 10 to 12 men.
Okay, so probably the same as comedians, probably.
Oh, yeah.
You know? During your training to become a police officer, was there anything that you were like, oh man, I might not pass this? Like, what was a thing that you didn't expect or which was really hard? Because I always think about the training and like how they try to weed out the weak.
Yeah, I think the physical stuff at the beginning, I think overwhelmed by it, just because it's not different for men versus women, because you don't go to calls as, you know, the men are going to go because it's a bigger part. Yeah. You go because you're there. So some of the training in terms of the fitness stuff, you just have to train really hard, you know, CrossFit style, very cuh, but you just, you get through it. And I don't know, it's manageable.
Is it like a driver's test where you just have to, you know, pass it once and then you can kind of let yourself go? Because there's some cops that, like, you know, could not run, you know, a mile.
After themselves 4 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to let him go. I'll get the next guy. We'll get him.
Yeah, it's at least up here. And I think in the States too, there's like fitness testing that you have to pass before you can get hired. And then like when you're at the police college or like in the States at the academy, there's a lot of training, but then you get hired and it's just kind of like, we just want to keep you because a lot of cops are quitting and retiring. So I think they lower the bar a little bit once you're hired so that they just keep
literally
officers
to
on the
climb
road.
Over. What is there fear in your mind when you think like, oh, I might have to pull my gun, I might have to shoot my gun? Like, did you think about that before? Like, the idea of being a cop is cool, right? You're like, ooh, I'm on the beat. Yeah, I get to put on a uniform every day. I got a stick. Like, it's kind of cool. It's just, it's like a kid's dream. Yeah, you got all the fun things, handcuffs, you know, and then you get out of the bedroom. What? No, but like, did you ever fear that and think about being in a situation that was life or death? And how did you train your brain to eventually, and have you been in those kind of situations or things that you maybe never thought you'd be in, but you found yourself in?
Yeah. So it's definitely not like the movies where, you know, there's all this big excitement with those kind of gun calls and stuff like that. But there's two things that they teach you about when you're training, and you don't get to replicate those things until you're actually in the situation. So one is tunnel vision and the other is auditory exclusion. So when you're in a heightened situation where you're facing, say, I had a situation where a teenager had a knife to her own throat. She was, you know, suicidal and obviously in a major crisis. And when I got to the call and actually located her, I didn't realize until I actually got there that she did have a knife to her throat. So she's standing there, she's got blood up her wrist and she's got this knife to her throat. And I couldn't hear my radio. I didn't hear anybody around me. Like a straight tunnel, just right to her. And then it was like, I'm just yelling to her, you know, drop the knife, I want to help you. And all that's from my training. It's like my brain didn't even process what was happening, or I wasn't aware of it. My training came out, and then it's like all of a sudden I blinked and I had like five other officers there, and we got her on the ground safely and we got her apprehended and took her to the hospital. But it's like your training kicks in and it's like all of your other things. Like, I wouldn't have been able to hear a train behind me. It's like, So it's crazy.
Is that from doing it from repetition when you're training? Because that kind of instinct doesn't lock in unless you've done it so many times over and over and it becomes habitual. I mean, is the training extensive, like of putting you in those positions over and over so that you can just click into it?
Yeah, I would say like maybe not so much situational, but like when we do our, you know, like our firearm training, we do a lot of, you know, pulling your gun and issuing commands like drop the gun, drop the knife, I want to help you. So you kind of just get that instinct when you pull your taser out or you pull your gun out, you're automatically saying those things. And then I think it all just kind of clicks. And you're also going to a call, at least I I'm kind of playing worst case scenario in my head. So if I'm going to a call where it's like, oh, you know, gunshots were heard, and we get those a lot, and it's, you know, fireworks or a car backfiring, but you play the worst case scenario in your head and kind of anticipate how you're going to respond.
So on the way there, you're almost running through what you will do in this circumstance so that when it actually happens, it just goes naturally. Okay, what were you going to say, Andrew?
Cops, obviously, in America, the last few years, I mean, it hasn't been the best PR for them lately. Does that transfer over to Canada? Do you guys talk about how the cop system is in America and how, you know, maybe certain bad cops aren't called out by good cops? And do you deal with that in Canada? That you know, the backlash that happens in America, and also the people have less guns in Canada, correct? Or am I wrong? Like the gun laws are different there. So does that help you at least show up on a scene where you're like, okay, it's.
Let's just say if you were working in America, would you be a little bit more scared?
The gun situation down there is, in my opinion, terrifying. Up here, we have a lot of illegal guns, and that's kind of the scary thing, because I mean, at least down in the States, you know, you're a lot more aware of who has guns, and people, I think that most people have more of a respect for guns, at least I think, just because they own them, they've grown up with them, whereas here it's not the case. So it can be a little scary, I guess, when it comes to the gun stuff, for sure. But
why
sorry.
Not tasers? Why don't you just tase everyone, like, instead of shooting them? Like, tasers just seem like such a great tool to just completely, like the girl with a knife to her throat, just tase her immediately. Like, why try to you know, convince her to drop? And this might this is obviously ignorant because it's not the way it's done, so why not, though? Because if I got tased, the knife would like wobble and then I'd drop it. You know,
so we did have tasers out on her. We
tickle them.
Or that.
Pillow fights. Why not pillow fights?
Why not gently whisper in their ear and then lick the lobe?
Why not put a little laser pointer in their eye? That's annoying. Yeah. Okay, go on.
I like all these suggestions. I will pass
okay,
them
cool.
along.
Yeah, bring them up to the next force meeting.
To the deputy.
Yeah, we had tasers out. We had tasers out on her. We didn't have guns out on her. The taser has certainly, like, I go to my taser very often. I'm not a big person. I am 5'3". I'm not going to win in a fist fight with a lot of people. I pull the taser out, and a lot of the time, it's funny too, because you pull it out and you know right away who has been tased before, because the second you touch it, they're like, no, I'm good, man. I'm good. And I'm like, yeah, you've been tased before.
Because have you been tased before in your training to know what it's like?
Yes, we got tased. It is hell for 5 seconds.
What does it feel like?
It feels like, imagine a lightning bolt going through the top of your head and coming out of your foot for 5 seconds.
Oh, God. Ooh. So it's almost sounds worse than, like, I'm reading this Columbine book. I don't mean to act like some kind of expert on gunshots, but everyone who
survives.
Your glasses
say different.
You do look like range glasses.
Yeah. Columbine is my new.
They do look like range glasses.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. No, it's every, you know, and we've heard this a million times. You get shot. People just go, oh, someone just shoved me from behind. Like, it a lot of times doesn't even disable someone in the way that you think it would, because your adrenaline in that situation.
Neither does a taser, though.
A taser sometimes will people not be debilitated from a taser? I mean, I feel like that always.
No, I've seen people on drugs rip them out. That's really scary.
Yeah, what are those little things? Why are there strings on the taser? I thought it's all electricity.
It is. So it goes through those. They call it neuromuscular incapacitation, which basically means for 5 seconds, you can't move anything in your body. Every single muscle seizes up. It is the worst pain. It's like, you know, when you get a calf cramp at night, it's that over
everywhere.
Your whole body for 5 seconds. Oof. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So,
wait, I have
what
a question.
Noah, okay. I guess you can ask.
Yeah, go ahead, Noah, if you want to get tased.
I want Em to tell us about the call she had for stolen clothes.
Okay, so.
Was her name Nikki in 2007?
So. And this is like a very, and so this is when people think, you know, policing is exciting. This is just such a run of the mill call. So this girl called in saying that she, her jacket and a bunch of her pairs of her boots were stolen. Several pairs of her boots were stolen from her, like the front entrance of her apartment. And she had like a shared front entryway and then a doorway into her apartment. And I got there and she showed me the area and I said, okay, like I'll step in and we can take your report. So I step in and I'm facing her and she's telling me, and I look up at her and there's a big, like a shelf behind her. And she's got this massive white dildo on this shelf, just sitting out like a decorative piece. And I don't think I heard. Yeah, I don't think I heard a word that she said because I couldn't stop staring tunnel at vision.
There could have been a train behind you, which there probably was, lining up to fuck this girl.
Next thing I know, there were five other women cops.
Oh my god. That's so funny.
So did you mention the dildo or what? Like,
I couldn't. I was so distracted, and I was kind of hoping that she would notice my eyes just like gazing at that giant dildo. This thing was massive.
I gotta wonder, you know, whenever I encounter a cop, for some reason, even talking to you, I've pictured you are on a screen in our room here. And it looks like you're almost bent down talking to me through my door of my car and you're issuing a ticket. Like there's an instinct in me that wants to apologize profusely, like kiss your ring, do whatever I can to kiss your ass. Like I almost don't think of cops as humans, and I want to, like, normal people that I, even in passing when, you know, I'm walking the dog and there's a cop that walks by, there's a guiltiness that, you know, falls over me. Do you remember how you used to look at cops, and is that, or like as just a normal pedestrian, you know, just a normal person that is a non-cop, do you remember how, did you ever have that with cops where like you just can't chill around them? And do you now understand, like, do you see people tighten up when you walk by? And is that the same in Canada? Because that's the way it is here in the States. We definitely get tense.
Absolutely. I used to be terrified of cops, and I've been pulled over a couple times, and I remember just being absolutely terrified and thinking that they could do absolutely anything. I never realized all the freedoms that civilians have until I became a cop and realized people will fight speeding tickets, they'll fight disobey stop sign tickets,
oh,
they will
God,
do anything,
yes.
They'll video you, they'll do the most disrespectful things. And actually, this kind of lends to another story that I was telling Noah about, and just how people treat cops, and something that I never would have dreamed of. So we went to a call where it was a check well-being call on a guy who, he locked his roommate out, they were having a fight, and he put like a bunch of like 3 or 4 inch screws in the door so that even if you unlocked it, you couldn't open it. So we got to actually breach the door, which was kind of fun because I'd never done that before, and, you know, breached it with my shoulder, and we go in and he's fine. The apartment was nasty. He hadn't had hydro. So he like was shitting in his bathtub, and it was really gross.
Hydro meaning like water, running water.
Yeah. Like no running water in the apartment. Yeah,
that sounds like just smelly. Like an energy drink here. Okay. Yeah. So yes.
Some kind of weed.
But as I'm leaving the
car, oh my god, shitting in his bathtub.
I've been there.
I mean, you must see stuff like that all the time. That's what I do love about cops, is they seem very non-judgmental of the surroundings. When you are, they're not going to judge your dirty car. Like, they're just there to take care of a task, even though unless you have a dildo on the shelf. But go on.
We've seen, you name it, we've seen it. But as I was leaving that call, I go back out to my car, and I had parked on just the side of the road, and the very front of my cruiser was just past a sign that said no parking on this side. So about a foot of my car was just past this sign. So I'm walking out, and there's this homeless guy walking by, and he's pointing at my car, and I'm like, hey, like, just here for a police thing. And he looks at me and he goes, you're a two dick mouth bitch.
Wow.
A two dick mouth bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that mean you have a big mouth?
That she could fit in a two dicks.
Your mouth, I'm looking at it right now. It's beautiful. It's not
maybe two small
dicks.
Two tiny dicks.
Yeah.
Not several.
Says a lot about that guy. But yeah, okay. And because of your car, because you were breaking the rules.
Everybody loves to point out cops.
Oh,
the amount that American cops break the rules compared to you being a foot out, they'll park the wrong way, take up the whole lane, and then if you even look at them,
to get somewhere faster.
Oh yeah, yeah, and but they look at you like if you have a problem with it.
Yeah,
they're like
testing you. Like,
test
please
me,
say
bitch.
Something.
Yeah, please say something.
I have a taser right here. I will say though, I think by and large, like I don't think all cops are like I know a lot of people that are cops that are like good people.
Yeah,
but there is something that you must see on the force, and I will say this as a female comic, male comics are different than female comics. Like, you, the reason you go into comedy as a man, we have a lot of similarities in why we do it. Our mothers didn't love us enough. We have low self-esteem, but there's the pussy incentive that men have that women don't. Like, if you want to get a lot of dick, comedy isn't why you should, that's not something that women go into it for the dick. It just, that would never occur to us. Do you feel
as a female cop that you went into it differently for different reasons than the men? And do you often feel like a lot of male cops can be kuh and are trying to like gain control of maybe this? You know, I love the Sarah Silverman joke. I don't know if you've ever seen it on her show. She gets pulled over and he goes, "Ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over today?" And she goes, "You got all C's in high school?" And I like that there's like this deficiency that they're trying to make up for. Do you see that there are bad cops within your force that you can go, ugh, yeah.
And name them.
Badge yeah, number two.
Badge
yeah,
number.
there's definitely that. I mean, it's like every job, right? You're going to have bad teachers, assholes. Bad lawyers, bad doctors.
Yes.
So, but it's like in my notes for this, I literally wrote like cops are cuh. Like there's so many
they're
that. Cuh. Yeah. It's like.
That and, like it's, the outfit. And the,
yes, and
the
they,
status.
And you'll, yep, and you'll the see power. Them on like the dating apps or on their Instagram with their like uniform pictures, and it is just so cuh. Like it's, I can't.
Oh my god!
Even...
Do you yeah. wish that cuh yeah. was illegal sometimes? Like I feel like a lot of times cuhness will get you pulled over, like revving your engine, blasting loud music. Like, do you wish you could write tickets for cuh?
There are some fines that would be considered cuh that have actual names, like unnecessary unnecessary noise from a vehicle. That would, yeah, that's cuh. And then there's actually, I don't know if you guys know what the equivalent is, but we have things called bylaws here. So it's like each region or city has its own kind of set of like rules to live by, but they're not like actual criminal offenses. So things like we have a bylaw that I love. It's called hooting and hollering. So you can actually get a ticket, a fine for hooting and hollering.
And oh so, my God.
Public yeah, disturbance the, kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. There's also,
but he's like,
called,
I wasn't hooting. I was wooting or yeah, like, you yeah. know, like what makes it a hoot and holler?
I don't know.
Just wooing too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
it's, and that should be the way. Hooting. Like I'm so annoyed. That is so cuh when people, it's it often happens obviously with, do you, here's my question. How much of the time when you are writing tickets that are outside of like, let's say traffic, even though this is, plays into it, where people are getting in fights, disorderly calls, how much of the time are drugs and alcohol related to that? Like,
I mean, every time, Brian.
I honestly say if people would stop drinking so much and go to bed on time, we would not have calls for service. Like,
that's what I say to people in relationships who fight. I go, if you guys stopped
like
drinking,
to 5
it would just no, you wouldn't have no more fights, or you, the fights you would yeah. have would be in under control. Drinking contributes to, and obviously drugs, but drinking I think is the gateway drug to drugs. Like drinking is what is, you know, legal and so and permissible, but like, so what, when you pull over someone, and you, your first suspicion is probably always got to be this person's maybe drunk because they made an error, or like you could, what, are there signs that you can tell when someone's driving that you are to look for when they're intoxicated? What are things that drunk people do when they're driving that other people don't?
And what's the funniest encounter you ever had with a drunk driver? Because I'm sure they've said some insane things to try to get out of it.
Yeah. So typically they're either trying to drive perfectly, but like going way too slow and staying at stoplights for way too long.
Yes.
I love the perfect driver.
But I heard though that a lot of times really drunk drivers, they don't correct right away. Like that's more of a high driver or like a driver who is just like not paying attention, you know,
and texting,
on their phone.
Yeah.
And drunk drivers are a little bit slower at their corrections. Is that a thing?
Yeah. It's like bowl. It's like when you bowl with the bumpers up and it's just kind of back and
right.
forth. And, yeah.
Wow. And then their yeah. eyes. Don't you look at their eyes and like when you do the little scan with your finger, their yeah. eyes will tremble
yes,
when they go side to side if you're drunk.
Yeah, it's called horizontal nystagmus, and their eyes, if you're a sober person, your eyes will track like windshield wipers on a wet windshield. If you're impaired, your eyes will track like windshield wipers on a dry windshield. So they stagger, and it's very obvious. It's a fun party trick. You should try it with your drunk friends.
What about marijuana? Does that make you windshield wiper stagger? Like,
it does,
or like
yep.
So any yep. kind of impairment will make you do the little wobbly eyed thing.
Yeah, and some cops will say the eyes don't lie, and I say that's cuh. We don't say that.
Oh my God, it's
anything
so
that rhymes,
cuh.
I guess.
Wait, what are some other things that you go, oh, this is someone I don't even have to, I will do the roadside test because this person, I don't smell alcohol, but this is a thing that drunk people do. Because I think it's so funny how often people give themselves away. Guilty people, maybe not even drunk, just guilty.
They're usually very quick to answer and very, very nervous. A lot of the time we get drunk people coming out of like drive-thrus, like going to McDonald's.
That's what I was going to say. Why don't you just hang out outside Taco Bell at 2:30 in the morning?
He said, put a breathalyzer on the Taco Bell speaker.
Yeah.
Because people are like, I'll take two tacos. Shout out to Clayton Champagne for that joke. He's a retired comic. But we're going to finish up with you. What I want to know, and this is for my own peace of mind, what is something that you can tell people in dealing with cops that you would like advise people, like when you were 26 and had never had anything to do with the force, that you would have like maybe benefited from knowing, maybe cop related or non-cop related, like something that you can tell the general public about what you know now?
I would just say that like cops are normal people. They all have, you know, families, dogs, friends, like we're not robots. And if you just talk to us like humans, because this is how I am when I pull someone over, if they're nice to me, I have a hard time giving them a ticket unless it's something very egregious or blatant.
Wow.
I have a hard time giving them. If you're just nice to me, you say, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry that I did that. If they're nice, I'm
goes a long
really
way.
It does.
I love
be
that.
A nice person.
I mean, I think that is so important. I think because I think so often people just get on the defense right away and they think cops are good because of the way you're portrayed in movies and also in America that we get on the defense right away. This person's going to be a dick. And a lot of times, let's be honest, they are. But I have gotten out of tickets before by just showing
your tits.
Humility.
Oh, humility.
Yeah, that's what I call my left tit. Humility,
humility.
And integrity. No, just humility and regret. And that's my pussy. But I just show
that will get you years and behind bars.
I just am like, oh my God, that was so dumb. And also being like, you're right. Whatever you're going to do for me, it's probably right because this was dangerous and I needed to learn my lesson. I was in Mexico and I got pulled over by a cop. What's cop in Spanish? Capo. So I got pulled over by policia. And I will say that because I was texting and driving and And he was right, you know, like I wanted to make the excuse of I was looking for directions, which I was, but still I was distracted. You so often, is texting and driving illegal in Canada?
It is, yeah.
Is it a bylaw? Okay, yeah. Which it should be. Isn't it like, don't you see it as like the number one thing with, it's like drunk driving at this point?
It's super distracting and people don't realize that.
Or how long they've been on
their phone.
They
don't know how long they look down. And you know that you're one of these people that is I've done it before where I look up and I go, I don't know how long that was. That's not a good sign. Anyway, the guy pulled me over and I said to him, I was like, you're right. Like, whatever you want to give me, like, I need to pay the fine. I need to learn my lesson. Like, this was a wake-up call because I like getting caught for things before they get worse. Like, when I got caught shoplifting, I was like, I will never do this again. This is so humiliating. I would have kept going if I hadn't got caught. So it's important to be fine and penalized for things. But he goes, you know, it was $400 and whatever. I already forget what pesos are, but it was $400 American. And he needed cash. Which is suspicious, but you know, policia. Ugh. And I was like, I don't have it. I have like $20 cash on me. And he was like, okay, well then I'll take your ID and you need to go pay tomorrow to get the ID back. I was leaving the next day. And he was like, and if you pay tomorrow, it's going to be $600 American.
Ugh.
And I realized in that moment, I have two driver's licenses. Because I lost one and then someone found the one I had lost and returned it. So I had two and I was like, oh, I'll just let him take it. Like, I don't care, that $400. But then I thought they might give this, that might be in some record. And then the next time I go through customs, it's going to be a crazy thing. And they're going to have to get someone else to host F Girl Island or F Boy Island, whatever, F Person Island. And so I ended up paying it, but I paid him cash. Hand to hand, no write up of it, but you don't, that's where you go, they can do anything. And I do find that when I've been cuffed before by cops, it is the worst feeling in the world, which I'm sure you know that you give people that feeling where something changes when they get cuffed, where you know you have no, you don't know what's going to happen to you. You have no rights. You are not, you do have rights, obviously, but. Yeah. You just feel so. Have you ever been arrested? I mean, clearly, probably not, right?
I've never been arrested.
Yeah. Would they let you in the force if you had been?
I don't know. I've heard of people.
They don't even let you in Canada if you've been arrested for anything.
Yeah. I think people have maybe been arrested, but have like talked about it and been honest about it and maybe shown that they've changed. Because I don't think it's a bad thing. People, I mean, people can change. People make mistakes. People fuck up, and it brings a different dynamic to the job. So,
could I be a cop at 30? I'm about to be 38 in like a week. If I decided right now, like let's say I'm a Canadian, could I? You think be a cop? Can you become a cop at 38? And let's say I have no record.
Yeah, really? I had a classmate at police college who was in her 40s.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's cool. And you know what's cool is that you decided to do something. You were already a teacher. What did you teach?
I taught elementary school.
Okay. What did you teach?
My last job, I was teaching, I covered prep. So I taught like all the fun, boring subject, like music, art, all that stuff.
What made you go, no, this ain't for me?
I just wasn't like satisfied fully. Is it
easier for a kid to be quiet when you have a gun? It's probably like helps. If I just had a gun, I could teach social studies.
I'm sure there is a cutoff of age to become a police officer, but I think a lot of people think like 27. Oh, I'm not going to have a career change.
Well,
at that
I think
point,
there's a lot of young cop, like really young cops. Then I think that can be a problem because they're too young to really understand people.
Your brain doesn't even finish developing until 26 or something.
There's some New York cops that I think are like 21. Yeah.
We have some young cops and I shake my, and especially with how these young generations are now, I hate to sound old, but it's problematic.
What's the biggest thing that you look at that you go, okay, these kids are different than us?
They're entitled and they don't understand discipline. They don't have discipline because they just get everything handed to them.
That's a thing. Even in Canada, people aren't disciplining their kids. And they're not getting disciplined in school because teachers can't discipline because parents get angry at the teachers if they discipline. It's so bizarre. Anyway, that's another subject for another time. Em, thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you.
From Canada. Thank you for being a bestie. Thank you for coming to our shows. We'll see you in Toronto, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I cannot wait to meet you again. We met you in Vegas already and you brought me Smarties, which is my favorite Canadian treat. The only thing I maybe give into my, I can't eat them because they're vegan, but they are the best. They're big M&Ms. They're big Canadian M&Ms.
Yeah, they're delicious. They're not like the American Smarties, which are dog shit.
They have like they have a crispy, like a harder outer shell.
It's like a pretzel M&M almost.
And this brings me to my point, talking to besties about Smarties. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Thank you, Em. Thank you for being in our first episode or our first segment of Guesties as Besties.
Thank
besties
you,
Besties as Guesties.
Thanks, Em.
Bye, Em.
Thank you. Bye.
I wanted to say like the aloha of Canada, which is there anything that you say that's sorry?
Sorry. Oh, she's still here.
I know.
How do you say bye in Canadian?
Sorry, we
say cheers a lot. Cheers.
Cheers.
Know.
Cheers. All right. Bye, girl.
Bye. Still. Thank you.
It took Em a second to get off Zoom. And I just want to say I made this joke on Conan. Of that where face. You go from leaving a meeting to then the screen comes up again, leave meeting, and it leaves you this weird blank space. I am so trained now to keep my smile on the entire time. I do it. I've done so much press for this. Welcome home, Nikki Glaser! On E! Exclamation point Sundays at 10/9 Central. But I go, bye guys. and the other day I did Caitlin Bristow's podcast and I did a recording on my computer like for audio for backup just in case, and that interview's out now, by the way. No, it's not yet, I don't think. Anyway, and the recording kept going after I'd already said goodbye to them off Zoom, and I knew it was still recording, and I kept just talking like it was like I was like, that was fun, like I made it sound I knew that they might catch me saying something a little different, or like just, it's so insulting though when someone is like so enthusiastic and then immediately dead face.
Oh,
I got the best text from Caitlin though yesterday that said, because I went on her podcast. Noah, you'll love this. Caitlin Bristow wrote me yesterday out of the blue,
who won Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I know. What did you say to her? It was so funny.
I forget exactly, but
you
I'm
were
just
like,
saying.
What's it like? Nikki got last. What's it like to say? Or no, Nikki says she got first voted off. What's it like to say the first part of that
sentence?
She wrote, "What is the book that you told me about on the podcast?" And I wrote, "Getting to I Do" by Pat Allen. And she was like, "Yes, haha, the book lives on. Talking with my girlfriend. I'm gonna get so many girls into that book." Final thought.
She's engaged. Right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've talked about getting to I Do so much, obviously, on this podcast and on the U Up podcast. It permeates my life
and is something that I think is so many valuable lessons. And I also was editing my special yesterday and or not editing it, making sure it was color corrected properly, which it was. I got my friend's husband to do it. He does he's done so many people's specials, and I got him at like such a good rate, and he was so nice to do it. Anyway, I saw the color correction. It looked beautiful, but I'm like, can you make me a little bit more orange? And I'm like, I know no one wants that. No one would ever want that, but Glazed Dog do. But I was watching the special, which took me forever to do. Editing it was hard enough, and now it's already edited, so I can't make any more edit changes. This was just about listening to the sound and listening to, and we're looking at the color.
It comes out when?
I can't say yet. They're forcing me to get this done so that they can start putting together clips in the ad campaign. But this summer. And I will say I wrote to Chris because I was like, I can't watch this. I'm dreading watching it. It's been since I think March or like February that I turned it in finally and stopped making edits to it, even though I made a million edits. I said to Chris, this is so good and I will never let myself say it's not. It is really good. I'm really proud of it. I will say though, and I think I'm wondering if I should admit this in the press that I do for it. There's a dead spot in the middle. There's a middle part where I get into the book and I have to set up the book to get us into some more things. And I am proselytizing
a little bit.
No, to get into a series of jokes based on the book, I have to set up a book.
Oh, the book
and
of getting, okay.
I didn't have enough. I look back and I go, there is a dead spot. Now, I want to just say that does not negate watching the special. You watch a lot of things that have dead spots that aren't making you laugh the entire time. I contain multitudes. I can just have it's okay to have a section of stand-up for about a minute and 20 seconds where it is just me rapid fire, like explaining something. You're allowed to just be interesting and not like boom, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom,
yeah,
whole time. I wonder though, like there are things I look back on that I'm like, why did you say, like, is it okay as someone who is presenting something to the world to say, I love this. I think there's a lot of great stuff in here. I do think that it could have been better. I am better than this. And I don't want this, if this were the last thing I was judged upon, I would feel okay about that. But I know you shouldn't judge me based on this for my entire career. Like, if you don't like this, don't turn
this
off
what Taylor Swift
me.
Was talking about.
What do you mean?
She said.
Of like, yeah, this could be my 2012. Oh, right.
We are so many things all the time.
She was talking about this. She was talking about being a writer, and she goes, you write differently on your Instagram stories than you do in your diary, than you do in an email with friends, than you do in a caption on an Instagram story about a Mother's Day post. Like, you are multitudes. Like, me in this special was a slice of my life. At the end of me, I was recording the reality show that you guys are now seeing. I shot the special November 28th.
Post-COVID. Post-quarantine kind of
thing. For me, the special was post, I don't have any time in my life to do anything except, like, I didn't have time to look over these jokes. I didn't have the proper amount of time I want to prepare for the special, but that does not mean it's not great. Like, there's, my special on Netflix, The Degenerates, which Andrew, thank fucking God, was there for and brought me my dress when I had forgotten it in LA and got to be there for it. That set was insane. That was falling on a time in my life where I was going off the rails, like the night before, suicidally, like crying, throwing myself on the floor. That special the next night, I am insane, but it's fun. It's a different energy to it. My perfect special was me so sober, toned down, working so hard on every little joke, had to be perfect. Like, these are different, little, and I just wonder though, you always have to act like everything you put out when you're promoting it is the best thing you've ever seen. And I'm so, like, I'm proud of this special, but I want to just talk about and be honest about, like, this special is not exactly what I wanted it to be, but that doesn't mean that it's bad. And it's,
here's the only thing with that is I think you're the artist. You don't necessarily want to stir the narrative of how people are going to perceive. Because if I go, hey, look at this picture, dude, I look like dog shit.
Yeah, you're right.
You're going to see dog shit. Even if you don't see dog shit.
I'm just trying to get ahead of people on stand-up comedy subreddit going like, it's not as funny as so-and-so.
That's going to happen regardless.
I'm unsubscribing to stand-up comedy from Reddit as soon as my special comes out. And I'll subscribe again in like a year when people maybe have forgotten about my special. But yeah, I know what I'm capable of as a comedian. And this is me doing something that I think, honestly, I say it in the special, but I hope young girls find this. It's almost like the show Real Sex was to me when I was growing up, where I was like, I know this is naughty. I shouldn't be watching it, but I learned some stuff. Or Taxicab Confessions. Like, I learned things about human nature that when you sneak R-rated things, you learn. And this is something that I genuinely hope children sneak, because I'm not doing any harm. I'm not encouraging women to do anything that would not make them like, I'm talking about sex in a real way. Like, I wish I might have this as a running theme, but I think for my next special it would be fun to call it my next special, actually, my next one I'm gonna do all clean material and just call it C.
I like that.
And I'm not really going to call it C, because that sounds too like, but like really like.
Sounds like C for cunt or something. Yeah. But I get it.
Fucking clean stuff. Here you go, motherfuckers. That's what it's going to be called. Mom. But then there's no.
Why don't you just call it C, mom?
It's not even for my mom. It's really like, it's for people who think I'm not capable. I've already started writing. Every day I write a clean joke about just like a thing, you know, like yesterday was like, people giving me plants as gifts. Like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to write about that. Like, I'm consuming Gaffigan. I'm consuming Nate Bargatze. I'm consuming all these clean comics who I really look up to and realize like, oh, I could do this. Why am I, the reason I'm not, I'm going to talk about it in my special. The reason I talk about dirty things is because that's what's interesting to
me.
Yes. And the other stuff isn't, but I like to, Chris gave me the idea. I mean, he wants me to do an all topless special, so he's all over the place. Wouldn't it be funny to do a topless special and but have it be clean. My clean one?
Yeah.
That is like funny. It.
That is funny.
These tits aren't going to be great forever, and you'll finally get to see my favorite lip color.
I think like the whole idea of clean versus dirty is just like, even if you write a clean joke, it could come from your darkest, most twisted brain.
Yeah.
And that's you know, that's all it's about. You know, that's what we
it
find.
Is
you
can hard still for find me, it. Though. It's like
same with me for sure.
There's a guy on I follow, or he's the best guy to teach you guitar on YouTube based on everyone's recommendation. His name is Justin Guitar, and he started learning guitar left-handed so that he could experience difficulty again and like relate to his students that are struggling holding the pick. And so he talks about constantly his left-handed guitar experience, which is just like what, and he's an amazing accomplished guitarist on the right hand, but he's doing it the other way to learn. And I feel like for me, clean comedy is left-handed guitar. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm a master at what seemingly you would be able to put into it, but I've never done it before.
What's hard for me too is like, I'll do a set and I'll have, you know, two or three clean jokes and it'll go well.
Yeah.
And then you get that pop on a dirty joke stuff. Because I just think it's funnier too.
And because they love stuff, especially if you've given them like clean.
So it's hard. It's hard.
You know, that's why peppering in the F word. People love like stuff. Cause our job is to talk about stuff on there that we, you know, that is, that people don't talk about normally. And now we gotta go. And so I'm gonna close with a little rap. This isn't my best rap, but you know, it's this and that. Luigi's sitting next to me. He's sad. He's always depressed. I gotta take him for a walk today. That means I gotta go get dressed. I can't really wear this out. I mean, I guess it's kind of fine. I got this shirt from a rental company. It probably costs $49.99. Would I pay for that retail? Hell fucking no. It's just a shirt that says Blondie that's made to look retro. My shorts I got from a tanning place when I was waiting for my booth to be clean. They have a whole retail section and the stuff, you know what I mean. It was overpriced and they caught me. They said it's on sale for $40. I was like, those shorts that used to be $120, $40, that's a steal. So I didn't steal them, but I bought them because sometimes it convinces me that I'm getting a deal, even when they purposely mark something up and then they take it down. That's real. That's real. That's what they do. I really got to go. I don't know why I'm talking about shorts when I started talking about my flow.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yo, is this thing on?
It is.
Yeah, is this thing on? Yeah, it is. It's real on. You could hear me. All right, let's break it down. Yo, this is my dog. No, it's not. This is Marion. I'd like to crumble her up, make her liquefied, and shoot it like heroin.
Wait, are you done? That's all you need to do. That was fucking good. Don't even try to beat that. Dude,
that felt pretty good.
I mean, flowing does feel good because it just, you know what it forces you to do is be creative quickly.
And turn your brain off.
And to turn your brain off and just go for the easiest rhyme. Noah, do you want to try it? Hell no. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to M, our bestie. If you want to be a bestie, please write to the podcast.
Yes.
On our Instagram. You can DM us, tell us what the story. If there's something that we talk about on the show and you go, I actually have insider info on that, reach out to Noah, submit your story, and maybe we'll interview you on Besties as Guesties. And we have a show for you tomorrow. Don't you think we don't? Don't be cut and
Jack-a-lantern. Mississippi.
I gave up on mine. I said Jack-o'-lantern.
I said Jackson. Oh, wow.
I didn't even do the N because I was listening to you and I turned off my brain.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.